We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When they retract it, it's really silly looking. You'll see it there. Like, find the one that says Home Depot or Costco on it. It's ridiculous. But by the way, the 2021 All-Star Game is going to be played in Atlanta. This is the first time, by the way, that Major League Baseball has not held an All-Star game since 1945.
Oh, wow.
Kind of been a while.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of leads me to, like, I've thought about this. It's like, yeah, I wanted baseball to start, but just given the circumstances, it's one of those situations where it's just not ever going to feel the same. Like, yeah, I'm going to be into it. I'm going to watch baseball. It's my first love. But it's going to be different. It's going to be different. I don't know. Like, maybe when sports comes back, period, altogether, mm-hmm. like, under whatever circumstances, like, it'll just kind of be as it was always here and never left. I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to feel weird when it comes back.
That baseball, when baseball comes back?
Yeah. Like, what? You know, you have the All-Star game to look forward to. I don't know about you guys. I look forward to the All-Star game. I look forward to the Home Run Derby, just the build-up, who's going to have a great first half, things mm-hmm. like that. And it's like, I mean, maybe because all you guys out there that think baseball season was already too long to begin with, now it's crunched into 60 games, maybe yeah. like it'll garner that much more attention and hype. I don't know.
I think it will. I think it's more fun to the actual non-baseball fan because it puts more of an emphasis on the first 60 games, whereas previous years.
I could see that.
Previous years, you got tons of games to be able to build up and finally get some, you know, it wasn't really like, I shouldn't say important, but closer it got to playoff time, the more hype and the more meaningful the games were. And then come October, you know, everybody's all into it. Whereas these first 60 games, people are going to be into it right away. And it's going to be some interesting coaching decisions on how they manage different players and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be a really good time this 60-game season.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that. It's just also like, I guess my fear of just the way things have transpired, given – you know, under baseball in Robert Manfred, not just the Astros cheating scandal and then the Yankees news, but the way that Major League Baseball and the union handled this whole thing the last 3.5 months. I feel like that was a big black eye on the game.
Yeah.
Will it be a bad enough one to kind of carry over? You know, like, I don't know. It's in the back of my mind, and it's for fans, I feel like they forget. I think a lot of people are right, and I forget who said this. If it was Buster Olney. No, you know. And it was Greg Lucas on Twitter I saw about a week ago, you know, talking about how over the years baseball has always had to find a way to, like, rebound from scandal. And they will rebound from this one. If it's not rebounding from the 1919 Black Sox scandal, Babe Ruth saving baseball there, to steroids, sometimes scandal has to save scandal, you know. The home run chase in 1998, McGuire and Sosa, which turned out to be the steroid era, saving it from the 94 strike. Whatever it is, baseball's always kind of found a way. It's taken time, but it's found a way.
Great 30 for 30, by the way. But how would you feel if the MLB did an All-Star game, a home run derby, all that stuff after the season? Since the season's only 60 games this year, how would you feel about having that after the season is over? Or maybe right before the World Series
starts? Back in the day,
they
used to do it after the season.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Like, that was an event. Like, after everything, you know, they had home run derby.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I don't know
sweet.
When they stopped that. You know, to see it, like, just because, to kind of steal a page from Wade Smith and his thought process yesterday, like, people are going to be so starved for sports that, you know, they're going to watch, like, whatever you throw on there. Yeah, it would be kind of cool if those dudes played. Which brings us to the next story in our top three in regards to Angels star Mike Trout, who is still not comfortable with playing. He said this quote, "Honestly, I still don't feel comfortable," telling reporters earlier today. "Obviously, with baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind and my family, just trying to be the safest and most cautious way to get through a season." Trout and his wife, Jessica Cox, expecting their first child to be born in August. It's a real-life scenario. It's a real-life situation that, you know, comes with a very important decision for him on whether or not playing and being potentially exposed to a virus at some point down the road is worth the risk of taking back home to, you know, his newborn baby, his wife, his child, his family. So that's something, like, are guys going to be on board? Potentially Mike Trout could be one of those superstars that are not. Bryce Harper's been discussed as being another guy who is not. I don't want to go ahead and be willy-nilly and throw names out there, but there's been some pretty high-profile names in Major League Baseball that there are question marks surrounding on whether or not they're going to be one of those handful of guys to this point that will opt out. Sure, workouts began today, but what about when games are supposed to start later this month? Will they be there for those?
That's a good question, and I think that's a real thing depending on where you are in your life. If you have a family, if you have a wife, if you have kids, where you are in your career, and do you feel like it's worth the risk for you to go out there and play? Now, to be honest, in any sport, anything, in the interaction with anybody, you can detect the virus, right? But in this particular sport, I think you have a pretty good chance because everything's so spaced out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this is the best sport to be able to try to control the virus best they can, right? Because of how the game is so spaced out from everybody, from the batter to catcher to pitcher to all the people out in the bases.
No spitting anymore, right?
You can't control that.
No spitting, tobacco.
And tobacco. They say that. But can they stop that? They say it.
I don't know.
That's part of the game. When I think baseball, I think of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the sunflower seeds, bubble gum, right?
That's what I think.
You know, like, Tony Kemp. I forget where Tony Kemp, what team he's on now, but, I mean, he's not here in Houston anymore. Like, there would be no, like, you know, hugs for homers if Tony Kemp was here. Like, social distancing, there would be, like, a lot of air high fives.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. So to answer that, it's going to be interesting to see who does that. I think obviously the bigger time guys the guys that make the most money, that are solidify their careers, they can make that decision as far as, okay, maybe I won't play this year, I'll just wait till next year. But for the younger guys, like we mentioned earlier in the show, it's going to be tougher. Tougher for guys on the come up, tougher for guys really trying to make the team, make a name for themselves. But at the same time, say Mike Trout doesn't play. That gives a young guy opportunity to step up in his role and play well,
and possibly. But it's not like some defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, stepping up and trying to take Chris Jones's spot. You know, if he decides to sit out because he's only going to get paid $16.1 million versus the $20 million per that he wants. Like, that's one thing, like, where a dude gets, you know, maybe the opportunity to take a spot on that team, and maybe the Kansas City Chiefs say, well, because we got to save money and pay Patrick Mahomes and give him his extension, like, see you, Chris Jones, because this dude's pretty good, too. Ain't nobody taking Mike Trout's spot.
He ain't going nowhere.
I mean, you know, like, Major League Baseball, yes, does stink at promoting and marketing, like, its superstars. But if you know any one dude,
you know Mike
Trout. Like, at this point, like, yeah, you know Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Like, he's on pace to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, statistically all time.
So,
like,
would that hurt the MLB if he sits out?
Man, that's a good question. Like,
you just hit on how, like, they don't promote their stars well. You know what I mean? Will this hurt if Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, especially Mike Trout, those guys?
Did we talk about this already today? Or I guess it was yesterday. Like, I asked the question, like, you know, what professional league has more to lose if they don't play? And if we're going to even, I guess, you know, be a little bit more specific and go your route, like, if Mike Trout doesn't play, if Bryce Harper doesn't play, if Chris Bryant doesn't play, or, you know, whatever superstar player, if there's a number of them in baseball, especially if they don't play, does that hurt the sport even more? I mean, it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help. I mean, if everything goes off without a hitch, they restart fine, and baseball's doing some great things. Like, maybe we see a perfect game or a few no-hitters in the first couple of weeks of the season. Some great athletic feats. You know, I mean, some team just starts to ball out. I mean, it's just, they catch, you know, the sporting public's eye, and it becomes, like, the story for weeks at a time, but it's all without Mike Trout, it's all without Chris Bryant, I think you're fine, right? Because it's not like Mike Trout is playing in New York. It's not like Chris Bryant, I mean, he's playing in Chicago, but I mean, it'd be one thing to me, like, I guess if Aaron Judge wasn't playing, okay. You know, or if you were looking, if you were missing superstars in like major markets, I think it'd be bigger.
Bigger markets.
That's what I think. And I think that's what hurts Mike Trout. Mm. It's because he's not in a major market. I mean, there's a lot going on in LA. You know, you have a lot to choose for what, you know, your entertainment is. We do have some breaking news, so I'll go ahead and throw this in there for my third one of the top three today. Talking about big name players not playing, switching to the basketball court, Indiana Pacers, Victor Oladipo is not going to be a part of the restart of the NBA season in Orlando. He's opted to sit out. That, according to what he told Adrian Wojnarowski just a few moments ago, Oladipo's been already hesitant to commit to joining the Pacers at the complex in Orlando for the fear that he might re-injure his quad. You know, he had that really super bad quad injury this season. He's 28 years old. He only played in 13 games this past season. You know, was having a slow start to the year already. He's just another one of those guys that, you know, for fear of re-injuring, I think that is another issue that people are forgetting. Like, everybody's focused on, like, the coronavirus and that risk. Well, it's like players aren't used to sitting out 3 months after they've already played 60-some-odd games and then ramping up again. You know your body. You know what you're capable of doing. You have your routine. You're not with your trainer. You're not with your nutritionist. You're not with guys that are usually helping you get and stay in shape and maintaining, you know, peak performance during a sporting season. He's maybe one of those guys. He's looking at his career. It's like, I'm 28. I was already jacked up. Why would I risk it even more?
Yeah, I think he made a smart decision. Dealing with that quad and trying to push back to get in a season and then not only push back but risk injury again and then sitting out for next season. It just, to me, wasn't a very smart decision if he would have came back and played, especially with the – the Pacers are a good team. I don't see them making a serious run.
That's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean?
Right?
They're not going to make it. They're not a contender in the team in the East, I would say. They're not going to make it out the
They're
East.
Not the Bucks. No. They're not the Clippers, the Lakers.
Absolutely
the
not.
So I think that's smart. Just get ready for next year, get fully healthy, and then see what happens the following year.
He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you. That was a top three at three. Coming up next, we have some of the very latest from the Astros workouts. They just concluded earlier this afternoon around 1 o'clock. A number of players and personnel have been made available for comment via video conference. We've got some news, including which Astro star was a no-show for the team today. We'll tell you next at Sports Radio 610. Welcome back in at Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts III with you. Got you until 6 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us. So the very latest from the Astros today, all teams reported on the 1st. They got their testing done and everything like that. Today was the first day teams actually got to be on their home fields. The Astros working out at Minute Maid Park. Workouts wrapping up around 1 o'clock this afternoon. General Manager James Click, along with Dusty Baker, Lance McCullers, and an Astro player I still do not know, you know, that spoke earlier today were the ones that were made available. But some of the very latest from General Manager James Click, who kind of covered all the bases, had this to say in regards to other COVID tests, positive tests. He told Fox's Mark Berman that they've had additional members of the organization test positive. He didn't say how many or if it involves players or staff or both, which is in line with Major League Baseball rules, according to Mark Berman on Twitter. He'd also was asked about Justin Verlander. You and I talked about Verlander. Mm-hmm. You had questions about him and his health. Click had this to say when asked about an update on Verlander and how he's doing. Click said, quote, "Not mask to mask yet. By the time I got over to the clubhouse, he was already on the field working," which tells you exactly what you need to know. So I think JV's doing JV things at this point. So that's good news.
That's exciting.
Here's one more snippet before I actually let you hear from James Click. Click said that age is not going to prevent manager Dusty Baker pitching coach Brent Strom or quality control coach Chris Spier from doing their jobs. Quote, it's ultimately a personal decision and they're all here. They want to compete and they want to help us win. All of the above mentioned are in their 70s, 70 and 71 years of age, respectively. Here is what James Click had to say in regards to Lance McCullers.
Very eager. I've seen a little bit of Lance, throwing some bullpens here. He was one of the guys who would come into Minute Maid Park when we were able to do sort of a limited opening. And the videos that I've seen of him and the few at-bats that I've seen live have been very impressive.
Some good news from Lance McCullers. That sounds all encouraging, right? Like, yeah. It sounds like the Astros, to this point, aside from more positive COVID tests, and we don't know whom and they can't say whom at this point in time, I don't think they ever really will, kind of crossed all their T's and dotted their I's, and it's all positive so far, except for this. And this was from Mark Berman on Twitter, who spoke with Dusty Baker earlier today. Yordan Alvarez was not in Houston for the workout today. This is a quote from Baker. Quote, we're hoping he comes in a few days. When he was asked why, Baker said, quote, I can't say. There are certain mandates from the league where you're just not supposed to say. GM's James Click did say additional members of the organization had tested positive. That was in the same tweet as Berman, and that's not to assume. I think it's dangerous to do so, that there's potential of Yordan Alvarez having, you know, tested right. positive, or there might be a fear that he has COVID or maybe was in quarantine because he was exposed to somebody with COVID. We'll just have to kind of wait and see there. But that was the one no-show that was publicized today for the Astros not being present at their workout. I mean, that is a bit of a concern, but better to catch that the very first day of workouts yes. than later on.
I think it's good news to know that he is coming, right? I think that's a positive thing that they hope for. He could get here next 2 or 3 days. So even if he say he does have it, that is on the latter end of it, and he'll be able to come in and be able to contribute and be fine and, you know, be a part of the camp. So I do think that's good news.
That's funny. Like that to me, Cecil, is a guy that a lot of us forget about because we're always focused on Verlander and now Greinke and Altuve and Springer.
Yeah, that helps.
There's a lot of superstars on this Astros team that, you know, you got to talk about, and we can't wait to see. I feel like Yordan Alvarez, you know, look, sensational rookie season last year. I don't know why, but I feel like he's like one of the last ones that you mention when you talk about guys that you're most, you know, looking forward to seeing this season. We're used to the status quo, kind of.
I guess so. I mean, you think about all the big name players, like you said, and it's a team full of stars. So yeah. I guess he's not considered a star yet, but he had an awesome rookie year.
Star in the making.
And he has potential to be really, really good. And if he can continue that this year, this could be dangerous, man. This could be a fun, fun team to watch.
Well, that to me is one of the things that at the end of the day we've missed out on, because he will not have a full 160 to do.
You're right.
162 to do what he does.
You're right.
I mean, God knows how many home runs that guy would have hit. What his batting average could have been. Like, just the feats that he looked like he was capable of and did accomplish at the plate last year. I mean, walk-off homers and just the tape measure shots. And just seeing a young guy with so much power and promise, like up in big spots and big ball games, like, yeah, he'll have that opportunity this year. Hopefully he comes back and he's healthy and he's ready to go and swing in the bat like he was for the most of last season and started to really in the postseason last year after a horrid start. And was it that Tampa series?
Yes.
He was like 0 for 11 at some
yeah.
point, I believe it was. It was bad, but. I mean, those are just one of the things that I feel like we've missed out on from a sports fan standpoint.
You mentioned how the shorter season is stuff we'll miss out on. Do you think this will lengthen guys' careers? Like, having this short season, this will help guys last longer? Like, this can be like a little, I don't know, boost to help them move forward?
That's a good question. It's almost like one I was kind of going to ask you, like, all right, do I think it's going to shorten or lengthen guys' careers? I think you have to ask both of those things, right? Potentially lengthen. I mean, regardless of age, right? I think about Ryan Zimmerman, who's mm-hmm. opted out to not play, okay?
Right.
He's got his reasons. You know, he doesn't want to contract anything and bring it back home to his family. I understand that. But he's also a guy who's had a long career in Major League Baseball. He's 36 years old, and he's already kind of started to kind of play out the last few years anyway, right? He's not a full-time first baseman anymore. He's a part-time first baseman. He's not getting regular playing time. I mentioned this earlier. He's a guy who might never play another game again because it's going to be hard for an older guy to make a team. So I guess in that regard, I think it could shorten some guys' careers where before this happened, they would have gone on and played. And, you know, you never know what decision they make in the course of a season about their future.
Yeah.
Or at the conclusion. But at the same time, I thought about it like this from a business standpoint. Like, I'm glad we don't have to make these kinds of decisions, but we're going to end up talking about them because it's going to be a big deal, certainly in regards to a guy like George Springer, who, in my mind, should have already had a contract extension, does not, has earned it clearly with a MVP caliber year last year.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, like, in terms of, like, negotiations? Like, what you're able to accomplish this year in 60 games? Is this something that, what if it's a poor 60 games for guys like, you know, Springer
yeah.
and others that are up for a contract renewal? If it's a poor season through 60 games, is that prorated out? I mean, for better or worse? Oof. And what does that do for, like, service time and things like that? Like, it's very, I know there's answers out there to my questions right now in terms of service time and things like that. I mean, there's a formula and there's a number of games that you can play and not play. And it's one thing to be a minor leaguer, which there will be none this year because there's no minor league season.
No, that.
I mean, it those are kind of like my questions that I have. How does this affect people financially, which in turn, look, affects fans and like their favorite players? It could be George Springer, one of them, that may no longer be a Houston Astro beyond this year.
Well, he better be Astro after this year. That's just my humble opinion. But should he get paid?
Yes.
The number that he wants? Say he has a bad season. Say he doesn't have a good season this year. At the end of the year, you guys are in negotiations, and he wants 100-plus million.
Man. All right, so like,
do you give it to him, or do you
think about it
on?
Like this? I heard this question asked by somebody the other day, right? And it was both NFL and baseball based.
Okay,
we'll go with baseball first. They asked a question about Dusty Baker. It might have been Wade Smith. I can't remember yesterday. But all right. So if Dusty Baker goes ahead and wins the World Series with the Astros this season, does he retire? Is he called it quits? Is he done? I said, why? Like, he saw an opportunity, and the Astros deemed him the best fit for said opportunity this year to bring him in after everything that went down with Hinch and Luno and the cheating scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Baker was the guy. If he wins a World Series, if you're Dusty Baker, why wouldn't you come back and try to do it again? With, in large part, probably the same roster, you know, give or take a couple of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's no Michael Brantley. Maybe it's no Josh Reddick. Maybe it's even no George Springer. But, I mean, hell, you just won a World Series. Why wouldn't you try to run that thing back when you've got Verlander and Greinke and McCullers and, you know, you're still stacked with talent? The same can be said, I think, you know, in your question, like, where, you know, what are you in this for at the end of the day? I mean, at the end of the day, is it for money? Is it to win? Like, ultimately, I feel like you're trying to win. The NFL example is, well, what if some coach goes, 5-11 this season, and he's only in like year two? Are you firing a guy, or like, is there built-in excuses for like all of the tumultuous things that had to go on given COVID? Mm-hmm. You know, like, at what point do you have that built-in excuse that saves your job?
No comment on that.
For me, I don't think there is a built-in.
So, like, getting back to Springer, your original question, I did lose my train of thought a little bit. Like,
no, you're fine.
If Springer has a down year, like, at what point is there a built-in excuse that, like, well, it's a shortened season, you know, like, prorated out, like George Springer's typically had poor stretches before. Who's to say he wouldn't have had a fantastic final 100 games?
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
That's a real thing.
I look at the Washington Nationals from a team standpoint last year, 19-31 through the first 50 games, and then they were the hottest baseball team, and they win the World Series in epic fashion.
That was going to be my next question. But shouldn't you base it off of, for example, going back to Springer, his resume, what he has done for you from up until this point? In this case, he has a bad 60 games. Does not mean he's not a great player.
But it's got to hurt your market value. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's business, right? I mean, you've been in on contract negotiations, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. you've probably had poor stretches in your career. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it came at around the time where you're negotiating your next contract with a new team or not, but I mean, you know that's discussed, whether it's what you believe is right versus you know you could turn it around, but the team just quite didn't see it that way. It's going to take advantage of a business opportunity.
Yeah.
And what the numbers say, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. And I feel like George Springer in that regard is probably going to bite the bullet just given his age and where he's at in his career. I mean, the guy's not 24 years old anymore. You know what I'm saying?
And I've been in that exact situation in Jacksonville. I had two decent years. I think that came off 900 yards and 700 yards back-to-back years. And then going into that year, we were in contract negotiations, and I wanted a certain number, and they offered a number that was lower, and I wouldn't budge, and they wouldn't budge, and end up being cut off because I had numerous soft tissue injuries that year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, I know what type of player I can be. I know what I can do, boom, 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 boom. And when I did play, I played well, but because of the recent things that were happening, what they saw that season, what they saw in front of them, right? Similar to the 60-game season, if George Springer has a bad year, they held it against him. They held that against me. And they would not – they actually ended contract negotiation talks, and we ended up separating at the end of that season. So I understand where it's coming from. It's just this situation, because the games are – it's like you said, you can have the first 60 games be struggling, and then the last 100, you're on fire.
Yeah.
And then you're there when it matters most. And that's where I get like, I'm not sure.
Cecil Shorts and Sean Bajani with you at Sports Radio 610. This is kind of where I go when we're talking about this, like in the case of George Springer and guys that, like, you know, what if and how it affects them going forward if they have a poor 60 games. Like George Springer, here's a guy who, you know, the last few years has dealt with injury. You know, he played 140 games a couple of years in a row and dealt with a multitude of injuries there. Only played in 122 regular season games last season. Here's the question, though. Because of the shortened season this year in Major League Baseball and the collective bargaining agreement with those two sides coming up this next year, what kind of discussions could they potentially have to shorten the seasons going forward? And could that benefit, if you're going to prorate numbers out, how's that going to affect futures contracts? Whether you're, in the case of George Springer, 31 years old to be in September, or if you were 25 years old, a future contract, now it's based off of potentially 144, let's just say, instead of a 162, regardless of the type of season that you had before. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is, it's similar to the argument, right, that the NFL players had in their recent CBA discussions when they were talks of expanding a regular season. Is it going to be 17? Is it going to be 18? Are we going to stay status quo with 16? Mm-hmm. They agreed to leave open the option of having a 17-game regular season down the road, but they wanted more guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. They still didn't get exactly what they wanted, and they still might not, you know?
Probably won't.
And they probably won't, because I feel like the players are always on the losing end of that. They
never win.
You guys always draw the short straw.
Yeah, that's a whole nother discussion. But yeah, never that would happen.
Right? I mean, it's kind of a crazy deal. So it's definitely gonna be an interesting follow in that regard.
That's
this
a good
season.
Point, though. That's a good point.
He's Cecil Shorts the third, Sean Bajani with you. Coming up next, does the NFL need to provide more details about something you probably didn't even remember hearing about because they did such a good job of sweeping it under the rug, but the Patriots penalties? We'll talk about it next at Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 welcomes you back alongside Cecil Shorts III. I'm Sean Bajani. We appreciate you joining us. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, we'd love to have you. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text the program. Look, I prefaced, you know, this segment by saying, you know, does the NFL need to provide more details about something that you probably don't remember hearing about? I think that was a pretty fair statement and question by me, rather, regarding the New England Patriots penalties. If you don't remember, I feel like it was just maybe a couple of weeks ago where the NFL had finally punished the New England Patriots. It was last Sunday where the NFL actually decided to punish the New England Patriots for the incident that happened back in December when you remember that whole thing where some staffer was filming the sideline during a Bengals game, and
oh, yeah.
they were supposedly shooting like some documentary that
never came out.
I would have no interest in watching at all. It was like the inner workings of trainers or something. I don't remember. Like, it was like, whatever. Like, what's this going to be on, like, Lifetime? Who cares?
Who?
Well, the Patriots had a film crew at that December 8th game against the Browns and the Bengals. And they recorded this footage. It was called Do Your Job. Okay, whatever. Not to be confused with, like, Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe. I don't even know if that still exists. But the Patriots promptly admitted after the fact that that film crew, quote, inappropriately filmed the field from the press box. They came out and said after the fact that there was no relationship between football operations and that film crew. And the investigation, according to reports thereafter, found no link. But yet, why the NFL decided to punish the Patriots in the form of a $1.1 million fine and loss of a third-round pick begs the question, well, what exactly did you find in your investigation if you said there was no link between football ops and that film crew, yet you're going to levy this punishment? Adam Schefter covered this, I think, about as well as you possibly could with limited information even available to him, but he cited that multiple other reporters suggested earlier this year that while there was absence of proof, the discipline was going to be handled and could only be handled based on similar infractions from recent years. And you remember when Browns general manager Ray Farmer was punished for texting on the sideline, and I don't remember when this happened. I don't even remember if it was this year, a couple of years ago, when the Falcons were piping in crowd noise and they got in trouble for that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that happening. Just don't remember the year, but that was a
It was fairly recent.
It was fairly recent.
I feel like even Farmer was probably within the last year or two. It all kind of runs together, but it doesn't matter. Like, that's basically the only thing that you had to go off on, according to Adam Schefter and other reporters, for the NFL to punish the New England Patriots. Like, it's basically saying, like, we know you did something. We can't
prove it.
But because you've done shady stuff in the past, we're going to go ahead and punish you this way.
Hold up.
I mean, if you're going to do that to anybody, like, yeah, go ahead. Like, lay the wood on the New England Patriots.
Please, please do. Because they're doing something right now we don't know about. They're finding a way to get over right now as we speak. And I'm not sorry. I'm not apologizing to any Patriots fans, because this is how I feel. They will go all the way to win the game. They don't care what lines they cross. They'll go all the way up into it. They'll cross it, come back, and say, we didn't cross it. You can't tell me. When did this series come out? Do Your Job. Did it come out?
I was so interested in watching it that I couldn't tell you.
And then the film that we saw, no. Right? Who were they really? Come on now. The film that came out that we saw is literally they're taping the sidelines and the signals of the coaches and the player. Like, what? There's no series on that. You're not following an individual guy. You're not focusing on the game. You're cheating. That's what you do. Yeah. You cheat. You're the Patriots. I think cheating. Patriots sign equals cheating. That's what I think.
I don't know if the episode was like a particular episode was like maybe scrapped, but there was multiple episodes of this. I'm looking at it and it goes all the way up to episode 4 at the very least. So
we're on to Cincinnati.
The NFL did release. Yeah, apparently you really were. Cincinnati and Browns is where you got busted, buddy. But you can't tell me right now, like, Bill Belichick's not plotting against the rest of the NFL in the schedule, because he's using this COVID-19 virus, and all of this is like a smokescreen. Like, everybody's focused on this. Nobody's worried about us right now. You know, like, how am I going to get the edge now that I've got Cam, you know, this season? What can we possibly do?
And speaking of Cam, so you mentioned on this past Sunday was when they came out with, okay, the Patriots get punished. What else happened on Sunday? Cam Newton was introduced as the new quarterback. I shouldn't say new quarterback, but a new player on the Patriots squad. Whoever the Patriots have the inside job, whoever they know, did an absolute wonderful job of overshadowing their mistake with bringing in a big name.
But, you know, like,
because nobody's talking about their mistakes. They're all talking about Cam Newton.
You're right, and you're not the first person to bring that up, and I didn't get a chance to talk about that in particular yesterday, but I mean, even I thought about it, but it's almost too easy, right? Like, people for, it seems like, months, right, have been talking about why the hell is Cam Newton still out there and available for a team? Like, why isn't somebody paying this guy? Why isn't somebody signing him? Like, it's Cam Newton. He was an MVP. He's played in the Super Bowl. Like, maybe not that well, but he played in the Super Bowl. And he's pretty good. And he's still young, and he could be really good still. How does it work out to where it's, like, so perfect timing-wise that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are going to sign you and announce the signing the same time that they get levied this punishment by the NFL? And never mind, it's not like a seventh-round pick they decided to take away from you. It was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
And a million-dollar fine.
Yep.
For something that everybody knew you were in on and you did that was malicious because you'd done it before, hashtag Spygate, right? Like, everybody knows you're shady. So how do you think you could possibly hide from this? Well, you know what? Like, they did. It worked out perfect. Everybody paid attention and talked about the Cam Newton signing and not this punishment.
They're geniuses. I've watched a lot of sports on TV as far as sports talk, like sports shows.
Yeah.
Watch First Take, watch ESPN, NFL Network, all that good stuff.
Man, you got a lot of patience.
Not once. I do got a lot of patience. I got seven kids.
I can't watch. I cannot watch Skip Bayless. I cannot watch, you know, a lot of Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. I just can't do it.
I love Stephen A. Max, I love on certain topics. Other stuff, I'm like, you're just making it up as you go.
Weed.
How much did they talk about the Patriots in a way that they talked about the penalties or they talked about Cam Newton? Not one time did I see anybody talk about this $1 million fine, them losing the third round pick. It was genius.
I mean, is it cool?
It was all about Cam Newton and what he can do and all the stuff that they talked about between him and Belichick.
Is it cool to, like, just – are the Patriots genius at the point now, like, not even to where they're, like, genius, but it's like – it's like, you know, we're dirty. Everybody knows we're dirty. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like the mob, right? Like, everybody knows, like, when.
It's what we do.
Yeah. Well, like, when Vinny shows up freaking dead on the floor in the bar, like, everybody knows, like, it was the, you know, Canigliaro family that, you know, put the hit out on him or whatever. You know, it's like everybody knows it. There's nothing you can really do about it. It's expected. Like, yeah, you know, but there's nothing we could do. And then it's like the Patriots, they can cheat whenever they want to. They're going to get punished, but it's like, they do what they do. And I almost feel like Major League Baseball is kind of getting to that point. Be like, every major market team now has been implicated in some form or fashion of cheating, except for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And your time is coming.
It's coming.
Okay.
Just wait on
Don't
it.
Don't think you guys
it's
are
It's coming.
Escape.
It's just wait
I
on
mean,
it.
If the Red Sox can go down, if the Yankees can go down, if the Astros can go down, I mean, sure, the Dodgers can too, but that's the way I kind of feel, like, because the Patriots just find a way to, like, one up that Friday news dump or whatever.
Well, Belichick's a genius in more than one way, apparently.
Yeah. Do you give him genius though, or is it more or less like we're just used to them cheating and they're totally cool with having that hanging over their heads, like that being the narrative about them?
Well, I mean, they've done it so much. You look at the timeline, like you were saying, since 01, all these different scandals they've been in, and they're celebrated as the most, you know, successful sports franchise possibly ever. No one cares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, all right.
It's disguised with the winning. You're right. Yeah.
And I just got done having a conversation, you know, about Bill Belichick. You know, who cares about, like, his legacy if it doesn't work out with Cam? Dude has nothing to lose. His legacy is his legacy. He's got 5 Super Bowls. Yep. You know, was the head coach of the Patriots and probably, what, 1 or 2 more, you know, from being on a coaching staff elsewhere, like with the Giants, I think, yep. Right? Like, his legacy is what it is. But if this was like any other sport, especially Major League Baseball, where there's a manager with multiple titles but has been implicated and busted and punished for, like, infractions of cheating. Like, in baseball, I guess if you were cheating, you'd probably be banned at this point. But, like, would your... I mean, if it was Connie Mack, like, one of the greatest managers of all time, but he was found to have, like, after the fact, found to have, like, cheated and, like, had buzzers running from, like, right field and Crosley Field or something to home plate or the pitcher's mound or some crazy stuff. It's like, is his legacy tarnished? Yeah, hell yeah, it is, because it's baseball, and that's what baseball does. I mean, if you're at the very top, but you're found to have been dirty, I mean, they will bring you down. Mm-hmm. In football, it's kind of like, meh, whatever.
Why is that, though? I feel like in baseball, it's more expected that guys are cheating. Guys are finding a way to get over. But in other sports, it's like, oh, no, if you do it, you know what I mean? It's just weird to me because I don't know. In baseball, I feel like, for example, they might put something on the ball. That's common to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like a pitcher might put a little whatever on the ball to help him get better grip or whatever the case may be. Or to me, the sign-stealing thing, I understand it now. You can't do it technology-wise. But guys were stealing signs. If you're at second base, you're looking at the catcher. You figured out what they're throwing. You're going to help your batter. That's natural.
If you think about it, historically, we know that receivers used stick-em substances on their gloves. Right? We know.
My dad talks about using that in high school. Stick-em.
Dude, I'll never, ever forget a guy that I played high school football with. He was a really good athlete, man. He would bring like this spray and spray it all over the place, like the front of his jersey and on his gloves and on his forearms. I'll never forget that. And like, I remember being a freshman player on the varsity team, just like looking at this guy before the game. And I'm like, man, can I get some of that?
Yo.
You know, no, I'm not even going to play a lick, but I just want some of that, you know, like it might help me.
My little league team did that. We had one play, tackle eligible. And they put stick-em on our tackle's hands. We didn't call this play to the fourth quarter. And he had stick-em and stuff all over his arms and hands and forearms and everything. And he still didn't catch the football. No idea how he didn't catch it. But he still did not catch the football. By the sounds
I mean,
the
you side. Just look like a buttered up turkey out there, man. I mean, you could tell, like, in the bright lights, you got all this shiny stuff. It looks like you're ready to go to a tanning bed. And, like, you had stick-em. And you had, like, since Deflategate came out, right? You had like Manning and you had Favre and you had Rodgers and you had all these other quarterbacks say, well, I like my football like this. I like my football like that. I used to put this on the football.
Yeah.
Baseball's really not been that different from football if you really think about it, certainly in recent years. And you can't tell me it wasn't always going on to some degree in the NFL.
Right.
Why has been accepted there or not, you know, discussed as heavily as it is in baseball? And I don't really have a great answer for you. The one major factor between baseball and all other sports, specifically really the difference between them and the NFL, is you don't know who, you might know who holds the all-time record for most touchdowns thrown, most yardage, most rushing yards, most rushing touchdowns. You might know the individual. You don't know the number. Who remembers numbers in the thousands, you know, 14,272 rushing yards, you know, whatever it is. Like at one point that was the leading rusher of all time, whatever. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, we're not all stat guys.
In baseball, you know who and how many home runs in a single season.
That's true.
Career, all time, RBIs, hits, batting average, all this stuff. And at some point in 15 years, Cecil, you're going to know who and what the exact number in the all-time leading guy in war is. That's where you're trending in baseball. And maybe even total, like, on-base plus slugging percent. All this stuff. You're going to know these numbers at some point. In football, it's like, you know who, you don't know how many. And that's one determining factor. And maybe that's it at the end of the day. I don't know.
Numbers are hot.
713-572-4610. You can call or text the program. Let's get out to a phone call. Kyle, what's happening, my man?
Sean, Cecil, first of all, you guys are making my shift over here, pulling carts, sanitizing carts that much better. Listen on the radio.com app. I appreciate it. Also, you know, if you ever want to get away with some cheating, all you got to do is just date a Patriots fan and then just tell them, like, hey, I didn't know the rules. My bad. And they'll just let it all go. Not only that, I'm really glad that Cam Newton – got a contract with the Patriots. I know he's been hard on Instagram, working out and showing off and everything. And it fits that he went to the Patriots because they're pretty much the social media influencers of the NFL. Hey, we'll give you 1 year to come in, feature our offense, and you're going to get so much exposure. Just go look at Brian Hoyer. Just go look at Matt Castle. Just go look at Jimmy Garoppolo. All of those guys. So I'm glad that Cam Newton is betting on himself and going somewhere that's going to benefit him, and I'm out.
Appreciate you, my man. I mean, I can't disagree with that. You know, like, and we were going to talk a little bit about, we will talk about this next. I do want to get into this with you. between Belichick and Cam Newton, I think he's absolutely right. Cam Newton is kind of betting on himself.
He is, no doubt.
But he's also not afraid to publicize. And look, we know he's not afraid to, like, you know, put everything out there on Twitter and Instagram and, like, you know, on Sundays post games and in front of the microphone. Definitely when he wins, maybe not so much when he loses. We learned that from the Super Bowl, like saying what's on his mind and being afraid or not afraid to answer questions. But that is the one area in which I think Belichick and Newton do butt heads in this whole thing, is how he carries himself and what he thinks he's going to be able and should be able to get away with in front of the camera and the microphone. However, as I say this, I remembered in my mind, we live in a COVID-19 world now. And in regards to the conversation that was had in yesterday's NFOPA conference call, that's not at all how they're going to handle press conferences going forward in the future. It's going to be video conference. So how does that affect, like, dudes that we know who they are because they've been characters in front of the podium before? Richard Sherman, Cam Newton. I mean, how many other play? I mean, how many characters in the NFL are there? I mean, there are Marshawn Lynch, you know, Rob Gronkowski, like guys that, you know, instantly become recognizable and, you know, topics and storylines because of what they say in front of the podium post game on Sundays. You're not going to really get that now. Not in the traditional form.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like Zoom calls with the media.
You won't get in traditional form, but you'll still get something.
Yeah,
right. You'll still get, for Cam Newton, it's the way he dresses. It's his hair is like unconventional for a starting quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
You just don't see that, right?
So I think I just poked a hole in my argument as one of the reasons why I don't think Belichick and Cam Newton could flourish in New England. You absolutely think they could. I want to hear your reasoning coming up next. He's Cecil Shorts, Sean Bajani, Sports Radio 610. Welcome back. Glad to do it. Kicking off your 4th of July weekend along with Cecil Shorts the 3rd. Sean Bajani with you until 6 o'clock. 3 in the books, 2 more to go. And we'd like you to be a part of the show. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Tyler Milner on the board doing his thing, doing a great job as always. So we've got a lot to get to here in the final couple of hours of the show, including a little football conversation I'd like to have with you. It's always cool, like, doing shows with former NFL guys, right? I mean, I feel like I get spoiled sometimes because when I get to come up here and do shows, I'm usually with you or Wade Smith or Travis Johnson or James Ahedebo.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Murphy. I mean, you name it. I mean, I get a chance to, like, just bounce stuff off you, and you get to tell me, like, Bajani, you're crazy, you're dumb. that's not how it rolls. That's not how we think. But I want to know how you're thinking about this situation in New England with Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. Like, you already poked a hole in one of my arguments, and maybe I did it myself, I guess.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.